This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about different approaches to medicine and healing from around the world. If you want to get acupuncture in the U.S., chances are you'll pay for that service out of pocket. That's because health insurance providers and programs like Medicare and Medicaid do not cover something unless there is scientific proof that this treatment will work for a specific condition. Some acupuncturists say the way to get insurance providers on board is to create more standards for the industry. But fitting this Eastern practice into Western standards has proven to be a challenge. Alan Yu has more.
When Tyler Fan was 17, he went to visit his relatives in Vietnam. He has asthma, and Vietnam is hot and humid. It made his asthma worse. His granduncle thought acupuncture might help.
He said, you don't have to even trust me on this. Why don't you try it on yourself?
He gave Tyler a quick lesson in how it works and where to put the needles. And then he gave Tyler the needles.
I needled my forearm, which really hurt. Basically, I felt almost like an instantaneous relief in my breathing.
Tyler was sold. And his mother told him this medicine is a family tradition passed down through generations. She introduced him to some friends, acupuncturists who work at hospitals in Vietnam that were connected to Buddhist monasteries that serve the poor. Tyler became an apprentice and started doing acupuncture. That was just during the summers. During the rest of the year, he was in Western Pennsylvania where he grew up. Tyler really liked the DIY aspect of acupuncture. He thinks it appealed to him because he was also into punk rock.
The unique thing about acupuncture is that you can needle yourself. It gives you this great sense of autonomy, and it gives you a sense of self-empowerment.
After spending a few summers in Vietnam, he decided to pursue acupuncture as a career. But he knew that if he wanted to practice in the U.S., he had to get credentials at an acupuncture school. It was a 4-year program at a school in North Carolina. On the very first day of class, his instructor told him the rules.
But they made a big note that if you are needling someone without a license, that you are doing something illegal. I don't know if it was me being young, 19 at the time, or being punk rock. I immediately questioned why.
Why was it illegal for him to give someone acupuncture without a license? Plus, the acupuncture school taught a much different philosophy compared to what he had grown up with. Here is what Tyler had learned in Vietnam. If somebody has pain in one area, the needles should go into another body part that is similar.
For example, if you have knee pain, what in your body looks like a knee that's not a knee? So you would say an elbow. So if you have left knee pain, you would needle your right elbow.
But at school, he learned a mixture of Chinese and Japanese traditions translated from the point of view of British and French practitioners. It was totally different. It was all about the flow of energy in the body, and it felt convoluted to Tyler. But he learned this approach. Then he prepared for the national board exams, and it turned out they were looking for yet another approach to acupuncture.
A lot of the students were completely in dismay because they'd have to relearn a completely other set of Chinese medicine, which is based on standardized practices that was developed in the late 1950s in the People's Republic of China.
Tyler was confused by all of this. Who gets to decide on these standards in the U.S.? Or what should be taught in acupuncture schools? And why was it so different from what he learned in Vietnam?
It seemed a little bit arbitrary and baffling to standardize these disparate practices.
Tyler went to London to get a master's degree and a PhD just to answer those questions. In the UK, he could give people acupuncture without going through any licensing board. For his PhD research, Tyler returned to the US and traveled across the country to find out how different acupuncture schools treated patients in their clinics and what type of acupuncture they were using. But none of the schools wanted to work with him, so he went undercover as a patient and took notes. He went to clinics in Oregon, California, New Mexico, Florida, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. He had shingles at the time and pain in his left shoulder. He wanted to see what people at different clinics would do with the same set of symptoms.
I was treated at in certain clinics with tuning forks, and then certain clinics with electroacupuncture, certain clinics with just regular acupuncture.
Some clinics asked very few questions about his health histories. Others asked a lot.
I was interviewed in one student clinic for literally 2.5 hours for one. And then other student clinics, they'll just interview me for 15 to 45 minutes.
He says he felt better to varying degrees after all the treatments he received. So he did not come away thinking any one approach was better than the others. He also tested some clinics that offered herbal medicine. The patient makes a tea out of a prescribed herb mixture and drinks it. Tyler had a bad reaction to the prescribed herbs from one of the clinics. A few minutes after he drank the tea, he felt something was off.
And then within like an hour, I started to have really intense heart palpitations and uncontrollable shaking.
He's been taking herbal medicine since he was 5, and this had never happened to him before. He could have gone to see a doctor, but he was not in his home state, so he was not sure what the insurance coverage would be like. He decided the best thing to do would be to meditate so he could relax, but he could not sleep. Finally, he gave himself acupuncture, despite his cold and shaking hands. He felt better the next day. After testing all of these different methods, he was left wondering, why try to create one national standard, like with the national board exam he had to take, if acupuncture already comes from vastly different traditions and practitioners end up doing vastly different things to patients anyway?
If I didn't know anything about Chinese medicine or acupuncture, it would be this black box of like jargon that they're using, right? But I've been studying and practicing for, at that point, 15 years. So I had an understanding and I knew what points they're going to use. But it was, for me, really fascinating how they came to those points or how they came to those specific formulas. And the thing was, is none of it was consistent.
He says that variation is a feature, not a bug. He says acupuncture is a little like the slime that his 8-year-old son used to play with.
It attaches to like the dirt, attaches to Legos, and attaches to anything that it touches, right? And I think Chinese medicine is a similar context in the regards to culture. It attaches to a lot of the cultural mores, the regulations, the other medical practices that are involved.
He says trying to create one standard acupuncture exam in the US is like trying to make slime solid. It's pointless, and it defeats the purpose of the thing in the first place. He says focus on teaching acupuncturists how to keep patients safe, and the logistics of running their own practice. Don't focus as much on one particular type of acupuncture that a board decides should be the standard.
People get really combative when I'm bringing this up.
It is not a popular take, with some acupuncturists who say the field needs standards, because without any, no one would take them seriously. Without regulations, how would someone know if they were going to an acupuncturist who had 10 years of training or 10 hours of training? Elaine Wolf-Comerow is a licensed acupuncturist. She has been practicing since the 1990s in Virginia. And she worked with lawmakers in her state to help create the regulations.
The establishment had no confidence that we knew what we were doing.
Anyone could say they're a master at acupuncture, even if they don't know what they're doing, which could put patients at risk. It is rare, but there can be bad outcomes from acupuncture, like bleeding, bruising, or nerve injuries.
So we found it helpful that there was an exam that we could point to as an independent exam that was not offered by the schools that could give some stamp of approval to people who were graduating from acupuncture schools.
And having these kinds of standards could also mean that acupuncture will be covered by insurance, says Mina Larson, the CEO of the National Acupuncture Board. She says that would expand access to this treatment.
We have 80 million seniors that don't have access to our medicine. So in order for us to be able to get to those individuals and help them, all of that is through regulation and is through us creating standards.
She also says the board now reviews their standards every 5 years. And they do a broad survey of the field to make sure their regulations can apply to different acupuncture traditions and reflect the diversity of the field. The purpose of the national exam is to make sure people joining the field know the basics of physiology and anatomy. I talked about this with Emily Cloth, a law professor at the University of Kent in the UK. She studies how governments regulate alternative medicine. And she said there are always going to be trade-offs when you apply rules created for Western medicine to other practices. It's a delicate balance between setting standards, safeguarding patients, and protecting the traditions that made these practices appealing in the first place. Tyler Fahn continues to practice acupuncture, and he's also a lecturer at the University of Pittsburgh. One of his classes is on Asian medical systems and looks at medicine from China, Tibet, and India.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.